passages of Scripture this morning. Exodus chapter 14, Romans chapter 8, and then Isaiah chapter 55. Let me ask you these questions before we begin. Have you ever said something like this in your walk with God? God, where are you? If you really love me, why have you seemingly abandoned me? Lord, if you really cared for my life, why are you allowing me to walk through this crisis seemingly so all alone, as though you don't even really care about me? God, you said you love me, but why didn't you show up? And you go ahead and name the situation. Well, there's not a one of us in life, but what we do not like, we don't relish, we don't appreciate times of crisis in our life. If we could, we'd just soon pray about them and just get them out of our way, and we'd go on and enjoy life. But the truth about it is, that's not what happens, and that's not reality. That's not the world you and I live in. Life is going by, seemingly everything goes okay, and then all of a sudden there's a crisis that comes into your life, and you don't understand why it's there. Maybe this morning you find yourself right in the middle of a crisis time in your life, and you've tried to serve the Lord God to the best of your human ability. You desire to worship Him, and you make it your business to be in the house of God. You make it your business to be faithful to Him, and you're available to Him. And yet in the crisis that you're in, it's as though, God, you're not anywhere to be found. Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? There are so many people who are walking through a struggling time in their life this morning, and they're really wondering about the presence of God. They're wondering about the love of Almighty God. If you would take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 14, because I want us to look at this morning divine truths from our crisis in life. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 11 through 22. You know the story of the children of Israel. They're getting ready to go through the Red Sea. But I want you to listen to their heart. And I want you to listen to everything that's involved. And I want you to listen this morning very carefully and allow the Spirit of the living God to speak to your heart about what you're facing in your life and what He has to say this morning to your spirit. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud at darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, if you'll turn over to the book of Isaiah, if you'll turn there for just a moment, book of Isaiah, because I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, because I want you to understand these principles as we begin this morning. Isaiah chapter 55, I want you to listen to verses 8 and 9. Listen to what God says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, when it comes to crisis in life, what in the world does God want you and me to understand whenever we're walking through some tremendous crisis in life? Now, every one of us somewhere down the road are going to face some crisis, irregardless of who you are, how much you've got, how much money you've got in the bank. It doesn't matter who you are. Somewhere down the road, you're going to face some crisis, and you're not going to understand what God is up to. That's part of the reality of crisis. You feel like there's a sense of abandonment. You feel like God isn't anywhere around. You feel like, God, if you really loved us, if you really cared for me, if you really loved me and my family, if you really loved us, whether it be church, family, personal, why are you allowing all of these things to hit my life, to happen to my life? Why is all this going on? I pray the Spirit of God will speak to your heart this morning and show you His truth, because there is so much He wants us to understand whenever we're walking through the crisis that we face in life. And I want you to follow along in your outline, because you and I need to understand some divine truths whenever it comes to some of the crisis we face in life. First and foremost, we need to understand that certain crises are born in the heart of God. Now, I want to say that slow, and I want to say it again. There are certain crises that God has planned for you to face, and there is going to be a reason for your facing them. Let me give you an example of what is happening. If you look at the backdrop of what is happening to the children of Israel in the Red Sea, here's what God tells them, and you go back to the earlier verses and then chapter 13. They're marching to Mount Horeb, and as they're marching to that direction, God simply tells Moses, turn the children of Israel around. I want them to head toward the Red Sea. If you look at the passage of Scripture, it's very intriguing what Moses does. He completely reroutes and redirects the children of Israel from going one direction, and they turn around and they head what looks for to be their doom, their death, and the end of their lives. You see, there's something you need to understand about some crisis that you're facing in life. There are certain crises that come into our lives that are born out of the heart of God. You say, well, why in the world would God allow me to face crisis? Just hold on, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But see, you cannot look at this story and not realize that God rerouted the children of Israel. God made it a very deliberate plan and a very deliberate purpose. He wanted them to head to the Red Sea. They did not get to the Red Sea by accident. They didn't get to the Red Sea by chance. It wasn't happenstance that got them there. Their crisis was literally directed by Holy God. Have you ever stopped to think that the God who created you is going to allow you and direct you into some crisis in life? You say, now that's not the way I know of God. That's not what I understand of God. And here's why. Because our mindset is a much less than what God's is. God made it very clear that He was going to direct the children of Israel. And you see, as you read the story, one thing that God kept saying, I'm going to use this to get me glory. I'm going to let everybody know today that I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm going to let everybody know that I am the Lord God. And you see, one of the things that happens in our life, you know, we think about, well, Lord, I just want to pray to get this crisis out of my life. It may not be the plan of God to remove the crisis. It may very well be the plan of God that you face the crisis, walk in the crisis, and God does some things in your life through the crisis that you never thought would happen or could happen. You never dreamed that God would come through in the way He has. Let me just give you an illustration out of life. Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God, when his daughter was a teenager, took her to the doctor and and she was diagnosed with cancer. And naturally, the bottom of his heart fell out, his wife and their whole family, because here she had to undergo chemotherapy and all the treatment. And he just went to the Father, and he said, "Lord, I know you love me. There's no doubt, but that's settled at the cross. I know you love our family. And I know that somehow, some way, you want to do something. But Lord, I just pray for your perspective about this crisis." He was willing to give his daughter up if that was the plan of God. He was willing to let her be in the presence of God. But as he prayed, the Spirit of God just kept relaying to his heart this verse of Scripture. "This sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God." And he would meet some other people in their church family who really walked with God and loved the Lord, and they relayed to him what they sensed as they prayed. And that same verse of Scripture would come up, "This sickness is not unto death." And as he kept praying and praying, and, you know, time and time and time again, he went to the Father. And as he went to the Father about his daughter, here she was going to have radiation and chemotherapy and all of that. And then went back to the doctor one day, and they was doing all the tests and all and everything, and looked like it was going to be a worst-case situation, and they found nothing. They found absolutely nothing. I mean, they may have had to do some little test, but he said, "What happened in that?" Well, he said, as I shared the story about what God did and how we prayed, he said it re-energized some people to pray specifically. It re-energized groups to meet and to learn to pray and start praying for things very specific. He said, "I saw the hand of God move in so many different wonderful ways." Now listen, I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord God does, and you know what you're going through. And you see, the thing about it is, whenever you face a crisis, you need to ask yourself this question. You say, "Well, I'm obeying God. I'm doing all the right things. Why does God not like me?" Liking you and being in a crisis, listen, you need to separate that. Because, listen, the Bible says that God has an insatiable love for your life, and there are some things that happens in crisis. There are some ways that God guides in crisis that you can't understand any other way. Listen, these children of Israel would never understand the power of God and what he could do if he did not let them go through a Red Sea experience. It took a Red Sea for them to realize the might and the power of Holy God. And that may very well be what you're in. You're in a Red Sea experience. There's no way for you to get out. And the more you think about it, you're trying to do every right thing. You're praying, you're walking right, you're trying. And you say, "If God loved me..." Now listen, the same God that lived, that was in Moses' time, is the same God today. Amen? If God directed them into a time of crisis, then you need to understand he's not changed. There may be a time in your life and my life that he may permissively, lovingly direct you into a crisis, and what he's going to do, he's just going to watch you, and he's going to do some things that you don't even begin to comprehend yet. Look at number two. God orchestrates his will even in the crisis. Now, one of the exciting things, you start reading this passage, and here was Pharaoh. He was a hardened individual. The children of the Egyptians were hardened. They didn't want to follow God. They had all sorts of gods, and Pharaoh had no desire to follow the Lord God, the God of Israel. And you see, in the mind of God, there was a very deliberate purpose. What was God going to do? He was going to show to the whole Egyptian nation he was the Lord God. You see, sometimes our God is way too small in our mind. "Well, God, you know, you can help a person get over a little sickness." Do you realize that this God conquered 600 horsemen, divided the water? I mean, he did abundantly above all that they could have thought. And you see, even in the midst of crisis, God orchestrates his will. God brought the children of Israel to the Red Sea because he wanted them to see him in action. Now, hear me real carefully in your life. God may very well have brought you into a crisis because God wants you to see him at work in your life. Listen, God is a very personal God. He is a God who loves to move heaven and earth, and he'll do it if necessary on behalf of his children. You say, "Well, he do it for me." Well, let me ask you this. If you had the capability, the power, and the energy to move heaven and earth for your children, would you? You better believe you would if you had that power, but the only thing is we don't. But Almighty God has the power. He can do it. He does it. He has done it, and he will do it. And you see, God orchestrates his will whenever it comes to crisis. You know, and sometimes people say, you know what, this is just an impossible situation. Just pray that God can help me out. Listen to some of the things we say. God don't want to help you out. God didn't want to help the Israelites out. Do you listen to what the passage of Scripture said? Here's what God told the nation of Israel. You stand back and you watch today the salvation of God. He don't want to help you out. Listen, did God help the children of Israel out? No, he did not. They couldn't do anything. They were helpless. In the will of God, whenever it comes to crisis, it's the will of God, listen, to fight for his children. We sometimes miss that. Do you realize that the God you serve, you walk in obedience, he'll fight for you? Here's what Moses told the children. Now, this ain't a hard thing to do for me to raise my hand. You know, that's just real simple. Here's what God told through Moses. You won't even have to raise your hand. God will fight for you. In other words, God orchestrates his will even in a crisis. And you see, you know, one of the things that Paul learned in his life, and it's found in Romans 8:28, says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now you say, now, not everything that happens to my life is good. God didn't ever say that. God never even insinuated that. Here's what God says. God works everything to good to those who love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You say, are you saying that my crisis, God has his hand in it? Let me ask you a question. If God's hand is not in a crisis, is he almighty? No, he's not. If God's hand is still not in your crisis, then that means you can have something without God being aware of it. That means he's not almighty. He's not all-knowing. You can't even have a crisis apart from God. You see, God has to permissively allow things, and there are certain laws that are in effect that, you know, if I do this, this is going to happen. And what God wanted his children to understand was this. No crisis dictates to the living God. One of the things you and I need to understand is when we're in a crisis, let me ask you a question. In all of eternity, how many crises are there to the heart of God? Zilch. You know why? Because there's nothing that he doesn't have his hand over. Listen, the Bible says the earth is the Lord, everything that's in it. And you see, you know, even if the situation is horrible, you say, well, I've lost my job. Can God help me find another job? Listen, he not only knows where there is one, but if you're faithful and you petition him, you say, well, why don't I have a job? Well, let me give you one real simple verse of Scripture, why you may not. The Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. You mean to say that God withholds some things because we don't ask? That's what the verse says. You see, when you ask, listen, the one who has the most prayers answered is the one that prays the most and walks in the will of God. God will not answer prayers if you don't pray. And one of the things that God wanted to show to these children is this. I'm going to orchestrate my will in the crisis. You may be scared to death. You may be petrified. But listen, no crisis dictates to God. Your crisis in your life does not dictate to the heart of God. And you see, God would reveal. And he even said it through Moses. He said, you tell them, the children of Israel, or children, the Egyptians, that they see today, it's interesting the way it's phrased in your Bible, they will never see them again forever. In other words, they were godless, they were pagan, and they really didn't believe the children of Israel. You know, well, they say they serve a God. Listen, you don't have to defend the living God. Here's one thing you find out. Try to go into the wilderness of Africa and try to defend a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. You don't ever have to worry about defending a lion. A lion will always take care of itself. The Lord God, listen, there is no one that needs to defend the living God. And as a matter of fact, God made it very clear that he was going to take care of the situation, of the circumstance, and of the crisis. and you see whatever you're going through. And number three, look, God's complete knowledge precedes any crisis that you and I face in life. One of the things that you and I forget whenever it comes to crisis is this. You know, before Israel left for Egypt, or before they left the land of Egypt, before they started their journey, God knew where he was going to lead them. He knew he was going to lead them to the edge of the Red Sea. He knew he was going to dry up the Red Sea. He knew he was going to tell the children of Israel to walk through the Red Sea. He knew he was going to instruct Moses to raise his rod. And as he raised the rod, God's deliverance. And then whenever he lowered his rod, the Egyptians were devastated. And here's something you need to understand. God will fight for you. Listen, the God who saved you and redeemed you and gave you eternal life, he makes it very clear. He'll fight for you. You don't ever have to manipulate your life. You don't ever have to say, well, you know what? If I don't push my way in, if I don't do this and this and this, listen, you need to understand that the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God who is right here who said, you don't have to fight, I will fight for you, is the same God that you and I serve, the living God, holy God, almighty God. He will fight for you. And what you do, you say, Lord God, I know it's easy to manipulate because I'm human, but I'm not going to manipulate. I'm just going to watch you at work and watch. Stand back and just watch what God does. And the children of Israel, as they watched, they realized that God's knowledge preceded their crisis. And whatever crisis you're in, God knew about it. I never will forget years ago, and you've heard me tell the story of when I was laid off from a job, and you know that's vitally important. I mean, husbands need to provide for their families, and in our day and time, there's a lot of people scared and in a living panic over their life, and especially when you come home to an expectant wife. And here I was coming home, and Charlotte had to tell my wife I got laid off. Now, men, you know what that's like to look your wife in the eye and say, "Well, honey, got some wonderful news. Don't have a job. I get to stay in the morning." And, you know, and you see all the tears and all the agony. But listen to me very carefully. How living is the God you serve? Do you really believe that he will do for you what he did for the children of Israel? And you see, here's what we say. We live so much on memories that when God comes through, we're devastated. We're absolutely shocked. We really, really think, God, you mean you'd do that for me? Listen, he will, he does, he always has. And you see, God has a plan in the time of your crisis. If you look under the principle four, you know, God declared in verse four, and it's interesting, he had planned this event for his glory. I want you to notice something very, very interesting. I want you to look, and it's very interesting about the nature of God. In verse 4, listen to what the Bible says. Look in your copy of the scripture at verse 4. Exodus 14, 4. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon all of his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Do you know what God's literally saying in that passage of Scripture? It don't matter how godless somebody is, God's plan is always accomplished. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know what? So-and-so don't know God. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just don't know if they're going to be a part. Listen, Proverbs 21:1, and I would encourage you to underline it. It says, the mind of a king is in the hands of the Lord. And God governs it wherever he wants it to go. It doesn't say a righteous king, a godly king. God has a plan for all the crisis that you and I face in life. And you see, he may allow you a time of crisis. Why? Because he's going to be glorified in your crisis. And as he's glorified in the crisis, here's what he does. Now think about this a minute. Let's suppose all of us are part of the children of Israel that day. We know God loves us. We know God will protect us. But you look out the next morning and you see walls of water divided. You see land that is absolutely dry as a bone. And you hear the one that's directing you, go ahead, march through to safety. There is something powerful about God rescuing you and me. You know why? Then we sing the songs with more fervor and more power. I love to tell the story. You know why? God don't want you to live on memories. Listen to me very carefully. Sadly, so many believers just live on memories of what God did in their uncle or their aunt or their grandmother or grandfather, and they remember only that of what, and they never really realize or put God to the acid test. They never really say, God, here's a situation, a crisis in my life. You said in your word you'd provide for me. And when I was in that time, as I shared with you a moment ago, I said, Lord God, I didn't write Philippians 4:19. You did. You said that you'd provide according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So I'm just going to watch you provide. Now, did I get scared? You better believe it. Did I get nervous? Yes. Because I didn't know a single opportunity, situation, you know, you put your names out and so forth. But God in His timing. And you see, one of the things that you and I have to understand is this. God will make it His business to fight for His people. Now, let me tell you why you have a hard time hearing that. You have a hard time hearing that and believing it, and I'll tell you why. You don't know many people at all that love you enough to fight for you. You say, well, you know, my mom and dad, but I don't even know if they'd do that. I've got relatives, but they sure wouldn't fight for me. You don't have anybody that loves you like the living God. You don't have anybody that will show you Himself like the living God. And what God wanted to do in the children of Israel, He wanted them to fall in love with Him all over again. And I'm not talking some sentimental, emotional type thing. To reverence Him. To realize this is a God who loves me. He delivered me. And you see, what happens is this. When you're in a crisis and there is no way and you're trapped right here and you say, Lord God, I'm ruined. I'm trying to walk with You. Then all of a sudden, He opens the doors. You knew it had to be God because you don't have enough power to do it. You don't know enough people to do it. And you say, here's the truth about the God that saved you. Won't you listen? The God who saved you will fight for you. He'll fight for you more than you can dare comprehend, imagine, or think as you walk with Him day by day. You say, well, all I've heard is about a negative God, a God that God that will whip you if you disobey. You know, that's the sad reality about a lot of preaching we hear, and I want to say this very carefully and very lovingly. Sometimes all we expect to hear about God is that He'll whip us when we disobey. That's all we get to expect is a disciplining God. Do you realize in the book of Exodus, God, listen, were all these people super obedient to God? No, they weren't. They were just human beings like you and me, but here's what He showed them. I'm going to open up the sea, and I'm going to let you see what I will do for you. And see, some of you just really struggle believing that because you have a real rough, tough image of yourself, and maybe a mom and dad wouldn't do anything for you. You had a commanding mom or a commanding dad, maybe both. And you knew they loved you. At least they told you they loved you. But you didn't see them doing anything special, extraordinary for you. It was always expecting. Listen, that is not the God of the Bible. I want you to look very carefully. I want to show you a verse, and I want you to listen very carefully. In verse 14. I want us to read this together. If you've got your copy of the Scripture, I want you to read it with me out loud. Let's read it together. Let's read it together out loud. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Why, God, are you going to fight for the children of Israel? Why are you fighting for me? Would you listen to me real carefully? Because He's in love with having a relationship with you. That's who He is. That's the God of the Bible. That's what He wants you to understand. I'm going to put you in a crisis situation. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset at you. But I want to show you what I'll do for you. I want to show you that I'll move heaven and earth for you. I want to show you that I'll open doors for you. It doesn't matter if there's 600 chariots against you. It doesn't matter if there's judges and juries and all of this. There's kings against you. Listen, the Lord God said, I'll defeat all the Egyptians, and they will know today that I am the Lord your God. In other words, he said, I'll get me glory. They don't have to try. You don't have to try to get them to believe in me. I'll let them know that I'm the living God. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to try to prove the living God? No, you don't. He's the God of the universe. Amen? You don't have to prove him. You don't have, listen, he is the living, holy, almighty God. And that's one of the reasons that God allows us. He said, I want to let you go through some crisis. But then in the middle of the crisis, don't misunderstand. And watch carefully. Look at number five. Because here's what happens. It is so easy to misunderstand the ways of God while we're in the middle of crisis. And that's what happens so many times in our lives. You know, God wants you to understand, when you're in the middle of crisis, you will probably say, God, why don't you love me anymore? Do you hear what the children of Israel are saying right in the middle of their crisis? Now, they're in the middle of it. Moses, why'd you bring us here to get us killed? Moses, and listen to me very carefully. According to the evidence of Scripture, you and I, if we're not very careful, will always get distorted about the ways of God while we're in the middle of a crisis. You're out of work, you don't have a job, and you think, God, you don't love me. If you love me, you'd provide me a job, but you're in the middle of a crisis. Listen, these same people in chapter 14, verse 13, was also the same people in chapter 15, verse 1. The Bible says they sang songs to God. Why? Because they were at the end of their crisis. See, you may be right in the middle of your crisis, and that's why you're distorted. That's why you don't understand what's going on in your life. That's why you don't understand, you know, you say, well, I know God don't love me and God don't care about me. And if he did all these things, listen, we'll always draw wrong conclusions about God right in the middle of our crisis. And that's exactly what these children of Israel did. They drew wrong conclusions. You're in a crisis. Be careful what you think about the living God in the middle of a crisis. Let me ask you a question. Sometimes we say, God, why don't you love me? Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to listen. Was God's love for you settled for your life when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Was it settled? Yes. The Bible makes it very clear. Listen, if I gave my daughter to die for you, don't you think I'd love you? Listen, if you gave your child to die for me, I'd know you love me. And listen, the love of God is a settled issue. It's a done deal. But what happens so many times in our lives, we get distorted because we're right in the middle of it. And so, you know, what happens is this. When you and I focus on our crisis, it will always lead to fear. Look at number six very carefully. You know, the reality of fear is born in the fact that we fail to focus on the living God. It's something that God uses. Now, here's Moses. Moses is in the same crisis that they're in. Because think about this. If the Egyptians come, they're going to kill Moses probably first. Because he was the one that led them out. If they die, Moses will probably die first. But listen, here is Moses. They don't have a way out. They don't have an escape plan. There's nobody to even give them an escape plan. And here's what Moses said, don't be afraid. Well, Moses, you got to be the craziest. No. Here's what Moses knew. Moses knew who his God was. You see, when you get scared and you get all these anxious feelings about, go back and orient yourself. If God saved you from an eternal flame of hell that's forever and ever and ever, isn't he going to love you enough to provide all your needs in life? Yes. Isn't he going to provide the good things? Yes. As a matter of fact, he said, I'll give you an abundant life. And you see, the thing about it is, they were afraid. And whenever you get in a crisis, here's what happens. We focus on, we get fearful, we get afraid, and we say all sorts of things, and we may even come to church and say, you know what, I don't know where God is. He's always been where he has always ever been. He's intimately watching your life. Matter of fact, you can't even move a finger. You can't even move one finger without God seeing it. You say, that's no big deal. No, but think about this. If someone gave their child to die for another person, you're a big deal to the heart of God. You're a big deal to the heart of God. Your crisis are a big deal to the heart of God. He's not going to allow you to go through a crisis and not want you to understand that He has a plan, a purpose, a will, an agenda in that crisis. And number seven and last, watch carefully. God will always come to the rescue of His children in their crisis. One of the most wonderful, powerful truths in this passage of Scripture is God proves Himself. Now, you know what the word prove really means. That means put under the crucible of real, genuine, authentic testing and validates all over again. One of the things you find in a court of law, what's the burden of proof? And if a person is, there's no proof, people get to go free because there's got to be genuine evidence. Listen, God wants you to understand He will, it is His nature, His character, to come to the rescue of His children. Sometimes somebody says, well, you know, I know so-and-so, and they seem like they stay in a crisis, and they stay in one situation. There is one thing about being in a crisis and walking in rebellion. You know, just because a person's walking in rebellion to crisis and disobedience, they're creating more and more crisis. They may get out of one, but they get into another one because of their disobedience to God. Watch carefully. God says to Moses, tell them, stand still. Fear not, and watch the salvation of God. Watch the salvation of God. All that night, the Bible says the wind blew. All that night, God used His forces of heaven and earth to part the sea. And all that night, the water was drying up, and the water was being parted. And all that night, it just kept happening and kept happening and kept happening and kept happening all night long. And there was a wall of water on both the right and on the left. And the time came that God said to Moses, tell them to proceed. Now listen to me very carefully. You need to get in your heart that this same God that was their God is your God. He says in Isaiah, I'm your God. I am your God. And He'll come to your rescue. In your crisis, whatever it may be, it may be some emergency, some situation, but here's what God will do. When He comes to your rescue, you know what you'll say? You'll get on your knees and you'll cry. Say, Lord God, I'm so ashamed of myself for not believing You'd come through. And I just bow in praise to You. That's exactly what happened. Children of Israel, in verse 1 of chapter 15, the Bible says they sang. They sang songs to the living God. Think about it a minute. What crisis have you been in life that God brought you through? Have you ever maybe been to the point of death and God saved your life? Has the point of praise, you sort of forgotten the goodnesses of God? And just afresh, you realize, Lord, if it hadn't have been for You, I would have died here. If it wouldn't have been for You, I wouldn't have had a family. If it wasn't for You, I wouldn't have this and this. And you see, what God loves to do is show us afresh how much He loves us. Heavenly Father,